Om ka guruji, om ka. 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 Om ka guruji, om ka.
Thank you, Premo. India, soon.
Yes.
Huh? Back in the hall, singing so the Ganges can carry it upstream.
Yes. Yes. Oh. Yeah.
If there is something I'm longing for, it's that. To sing together. It's wow.
Well, we're singing with you. You're singing a little fast for us, but we're following you kind of like you're pulling us along. That's beautiful. Thank you. Thank you so much.
My heart. You are.
Let me begin with our ashram seal. Om Shri Satche Mahaprabhu Ki Jai, Paramatma Ki Jai, Gurudev Bhagawan Ki Jai, Satcha Sangha Ki Jai. When we're singing in the hall, who's coughing? You want?
Okay.
Maharaji was in his room, just laying there and listening. And I was beginning to say, when we were back at the hammocks, So Tara said, didn't you ever want to go anywhere else? And I told her I couldn't even imagine in my... Sahara smiling huge. In my wildest dreams, I could never have imagined leaving Maharaji. The moment that I met him, it was finished for me. I knew that was done. I said, I want to be exactly like you. He said, you will be. I said, the pundits who were sitting around, and the swamis, they were laughing at me for saying such an arrogant thing, but I wasn't arrogant, and he knew I wasn't arrogant. He knew that we were going to be, and we were, inseparable. He said, I've been waiting for you for 40-some years, and I was 38 at the time, and we were just, everything in my life, from that point on, was due to Maharaji and my relationship with him. And he is wonderful and beautiful and sweet-natured. And he also had a lion kind of quality when he was tiny and bright, and people would come into see Maharaji and their tears would begin just by being close to him. And let's see, there he is, Maharaji. Yeah, there he is. And I say, there would be no Teradasacha, there would be no satsang, there would be no Australian Sangha, American Sangha, European Sangha, African Sangha. It wouldn't be without Maharaji. It would be impossible. Is that true?
Yes.
Yeah, it is. And he reflected to me that my heart is incredibly fine. It is a golden, bright place within me, within him, and within every soul that I will meet throughout my life, whether they know it or not. And the word my is always a little foreign to me. My dog, my house, doesn't sound right to me. It sounds off. It's tinny to the ears. It's the wrong tone, the wrong sound. He showed me that what was in this heart is in every heart. And our work is to reflect that back so that people have a realization of the depth and the simplicity and the beauty and the exquisite wisdom that lies within their heart. And it's an important work, and it can only be realized through those who are receptive. Mm-hmm. So for my guru, I was like a cup, and he was like a constant impouring of grace. I don't want to take the screen away from Maharaji. There, I could never even consider. When Maharaji said something, whether I liked it or I didn't like it, I was 100% for it, because he was always for me. And there were a couple times Maharaji absolutely required from me something that was culturally unacceptable in my culture and was only acceptable in his culture. I remember, I'll tell you one story about this: the sweeper woman. In India, there's a caste system still. And the ashram is full of pundits. And they're of the highest caste, whether they're smart or not smart, rich or poor. The pundits, what is the name of their caste? The Brahmin caste, right, are the highest. Just keep your forehead, okay. This is not your culture. It's okay. It's their culture. And it works for them. And it doesn't work for them. And everything in between. And if you go to India, you should have no opinion whatsoever about their culture. Zero. It's not your culture. Your judgmentalness can absolutely disappear, and you can be there for the right reasons. And when you're there for the right reasons, other than overviewing what they're doing wrong, you will acquire a treasure trove where you cannot acquire it anywhere else except for within your being. Are you judgmental? Then that's also the caste system. Take that. So the sweeper woman, she is of the lowest caste, the Shudra caste, the lowest, lowest caste. They do all the work. They do all the cleaning of really funky areas and all of that. Usually the Shudras are very, 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 very poor, and sometimes not. The richest man in Varanasi is Shudra. So he's the guy who gives the wood to the burning god, and his family's been doing that for hundreds and hundreds of years, and he has a palace. So that's how much you know about the caste system. And I know almost nothing because I don't bother with it. I'm meeting person to person. I don't care what their caste is. So the sweeper woman, she had a baby, right? I think she had dozens of kids, at least 9 children, I think. I might be off on that, but she had a lot of kids. And she had a new one. And I would sit outside on the veranda, and while she was sweeping, I would hold the baby. And I just loved this baby. His name was Vicky, and he was only about this big. He was a little tiny Indian child, just beautiful. And so one day I was back at Pulchati, and there's a photo on our website of me sitting as a young woman in white. And that was the very day I was at Pulchati at that day. And that was the very day that Swami Baldev came back. Swami Baldev didn't like me very well, but we loved each other. There's no question about it. And Swami Baldev always wanted to get over on me somehow. So he's driving a taxi back to Pulchati, where the satsang is being held. And he stands there and he says, Maharaji wants to speak with you. And I said, okay, as soon as I'm done here. So I cut it short to go back because Maharaji wanted me and I was never defiant to him, not for a moment. He was me. I am him. We were not two. We are still not two. So I go to Maharaji. About 5 minutes later, Baldev goes on and I get a taxi and go back to the ashram. And Maharaji, he says, come here and be. I said, okay, Maharaji, what is it? What's happening? He said, you cannot hold that baby anymore. And I said, oh, why is that? And he says, because the Brahmins are complaining that you're holding a Shudra child. He said, Shantimai, these people don't understand what we understand. And I said, okay, Maharaji, I won't. And I never did it again. Mm-hmm. I was saying recently that in Maharaji's ashram, it was very strict. Extremely strict. You can soften your face now. And that strictness showed me how to be fluid. It was through that strictness that I was able to be fluid. And what's interesting is little Vicky. He was so tiny. His mother was tiny. He was so tiny, it was unbelievable. And, you know, Vicky, he could probably have my energy and have my scent and everything as a baby. That's kind of what happens. And Vicky and I were very dear to each other. And Vicky has children now of his own. And every time I see Vicky, I go into his house there. And we visit each other, and it hasn't changed anything between he and I. And it was really good not to upset people and get them prejudiced against me. So Maharaji's strictness, which was very strict, was the way that I learned not to avoid and not to make excuses, but to move in a culture in the way that I could remain very deeply present in the culture without any complaint. And it also gave me the opportunity for detachment and love. Love is detachment. Detachment is love. It's not far away. It's deeply involved. It just is observing. Well, attempt it. You know, people, you can tell how they feel by the faces that they wear. Everything comes out on the face. Huh? And even to hear this story, some people are just tight about it. Just to hear the story, not to even be in it, but just to hear the story. Can you imagine? Just to hear the story. I was considering today, and please be ready to put your hand up if you want to. Transformation and how it is really a time. I'm sure that we've had this versation, this pouring on the transmission or in satsang before. Transformation. Calm yourself. Why do you have any opinion at all? How are you going to see anything as long as you have opinions? You're only going to see your opinion. And your opinion is not that great. And it could be very thin. So if you have one, you can at least look through it and go, why am I bothering with this? Stop. Why am I bothering with this opinion? So transformation, when it's very marvelous how, I want you to listen up, Tara, how life proceeds through this incredible intelligent creativity, which springs out of an uncultivated I cannot say any further. And that when the mother and the father meet and this liquid fire sparks a cell and it splits into two cells and then it splits and it splits and it starts to form this physical being. This is transformation from this fiery liquid to this physical being to someone within its mother's womb, growing, morphing, what we could say, what do they say in shamanism? They call it shape-shifting. Transformation. And every day is transformation. Every moment is transformation, except for the way you think. And your thinking either puts you... Yeah, thank you. Relax. This transformation... Or these opinions put you in a prison where you're not able to see anything but the way that you think and the way it makes you feel about yourself, superior or inferior, or the spectrum in between. And it has nothing to do with yourself. And when you cease having your thick opinions about everything, you'll actually see what is before you in the moment, which is marvelous and simple. I was saying the other day, she's not here anymore. Okay. One woman came back to the satsang in the last gathering, and she said, there's nothing to do. I put this on the last transmission. There's nothing to do. And I could see that she really had that experience. And the great gyanis would say, there's nothing to do, nothing to do. And people have this idea that, oh, I can't move, I can't go in my car, I can't clean my house, I can't iron my clothes, there's nothing to do. I got to sit around all the time now and be a yogi. But that's not what they're talking about. The gyanis were saying, there's no need to be jealous. You don't have to do that. You don't have to hate. You don't have to compare. You don't have to judge. There's none of that to be done. Transformation. And this is really a time of transformation. You can see it on the planet. It's like going, there's nothing settled. Isn't that right? And it's really a great time because this is a time that is your time to learn transformation. Yeah. Good. Face shows everything. That's a wonderful thing, because it's so easy to read, and it's so nice to have that transparency. When you can't stand what I'm saying, your face goes. Like that. When it goes in, like the wind goes into a tree, the face is serene, like a Buddha in meditation. I can see what you resist, and it's fine with me if you resist, but it's not fine with you, because your heart is really and truly just, if you're here, it has to be like that. Your heart is really and truly ripe for maturing, which really means I have come home to myself in a state of, and it doesn't have to be a state of, sometimes words are really a little misleading, though I never intend to have it be so. I have come home to the possibility of transforming one, I said recently, one grain of sand. And something is, in a new way, an ancient way, a visible way, a heartful way, a livable way, that has made a change in my life. Well, if you don't want a change in your life, then don't bother. But if you want a change in your life, you will have to bother to do nothing, as the great master said. It doesn't mean not to do this or not to do that. It means to clear your thoughts, stop being so judgmental. It's so easy. Honestly, Madhu, it is. Yeah, it's just really easy. Shrita, what do you think?
I'll get there.
Now.
Yes.
I'll get there. Mm-hmm. Now. My master, who was, he wasn't really my master. He was my first guru, and he's really good. He's really not easy and really good. And he told me one time, he just said, stop thinking. And my, well, mind went blank. Just like yours did just now. So open, so quiet, so available for what is rather than what you could think is. You changed your mind once, didn't you? It changed your life, didn't it? Continue. Gate, gate, para, samgati, bodhisvaha. Go, 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 go. Go beyond enlightenment. Continue, continue. That's the Great Heart Sutra mantra. So what Maharaji actually showed me in that time of not holding Vicky, the little boy Vicky, was to love what I didn't understand. And love to me is neutral and peaceful and unemotional and not even attractive. It doesn't have to be attractive. It can be very unattractive. And not holding the baby was very unattractive to me. Very unattractive. And yet he demanded. And I said, thank you, Maharaji, because I can and do love the pundits. They're born into this. Vicky's born into this. And I am to be neutral in my heart, because then, and then only, can I see and truly see. Mm-hmm. That's love, neutrality. All the rest are teachings in love. What I need, oh, I need. No, doesn't work. Anyhow, transformation, changing the mind. Oh, let's see, somebody is contacting me. Yeah, okay, I don't need to be contacted right now. Thought it might be Sahara or the team. Transform one of your opinions into neutrality, into observing without any opinion at all, without any protection. What are you protecting yourself from? Being the love that you are? You have no more opinion about how superior you are to who you're looking at and deciding whether they're good enough for you or not? It's a facade. It's arrogance. And love doesn't, arrogance is something that protects a very weak spot in us. So when we have that uprising, and we've all had it, there's no question about it. Every person has had it, just to know it's true, just to know it's there, just to know it's possible. True means, yeah, I have had that. True doesn't mean arrogance is true. It just means I'm covering up a very weak spot in myself, pushing forward. And so we transform that into openness, which means I'm observing life now rather than opining about everything. Huh? And it's such a good time for it because, gee, the whole world is in this movement, no? And gosh, it's just happening from... Maharaj used to say, Shanti Maya, it's not just the earth. He used to say, it's the entire universe is going through this now, not just people on earth. Transforming. So since your body was a spot of liquid fire, that came into its domain and started to transform. Shapeshift, morph all of the time, every moment. Why we can't morph, shapeshift, transform one idea that we may have that could change our life. If you want to put your hand up, it's time to do so now. Sahara, I think you're quiet.
Namaste, Shanti Mai.
Okay, I thought that you weren't on mic. Go ahead, please.
Okay. I can remember the first time I heard that story, Shanti Mai. When you shared
about Vicky,
and I can I can remember the emotional judgmental reaction that occurred within me, And as India always does, regardless of what you judge, right or wrong, it will keep teaching you. And having sat on your floor and having wonderful beings come in and explain different situations to us, and
in which way, Sahar? Like which way would it?
The reasons for, not so much why, but the reasons for certain things. And then, you know, and I did a little bit of a deep dive into the caste system and its history and such, and in part because of that. And what we discovered from people sharing with us, and what I discovered through the reading, was that the caste system, as it was developed in the Vedic system, wasn't a system of rights. It was a system of responsibilities.
Yes.
So every caste was responsible for its part in the entirety. And yes. That though the king, the Maharaj, would technically be on top of that pyramid as we would see it, they would not eat until everybody had eaten. They wouldn't sleep until everybody had a bed. This was a system that was in place when the British came, and I think it was the 1400s, 1500s. When they came first, they sent back notes to the empire saying, "Listen, it's going to be very difficult to take these people over because they're all happy. What we're going to have to do is elevate one section of the society above the others, and create infighting on our own." So what they did is they elevated the Brahmin class, because they were learned and they were lettered. They could, they were literate. They elevated them to positions of power. Whereas before, the Brahmin class was a very special class. Everybody, all the other castes, would make sure that the Brahmins never had to work, that they got all the best of all the food, all the everything, so that they could be pure, so that they could do the prayers well. So they were a protected and very special class, but they weren't the highest class. Like Krishna and Ram, all of those beings were all Kshatriya. The kings were not Brahmin. You wouldn't even give a Brahmin a job like king or anything else. You wanted them doing the prayers. So everybody was very, very careful to make sure that they were special. And when the Brits came and elevated them, it completely disrupted the entire caste system. And they did that purposefully.
And you know what, Sahara, I thank you for saying all of that. And Maharaji didn't have to tell me one thing like that for me to say, okay.
No. And in the moment of something like that, even if one thinks, oh, I am the one that can hold the baby no matter what anybody else thinks, you are going to create, there's a great likelihood you're going to create something terrible for that baby as soon as you're out of sight. Because of the pressures within Indian society, it could be that it would be more in the end, in that moment, for that child to be held by somebody would create disruption for them and their family in ways we could not even understand.
That's the point. I always saw myself as a stone sitting on the Ganges.
And what I found within myself is that as soon as judgment is triggered, I stop learning. I stop listening.
Absolutely, 100%. That's exactly right.
Out.
Wherever you are complaining and constantly holding yourself in poor me or protection, or I can't understand. I can't think about it. It's disgusting. Any of that stuff, that's where you get to be. Yeah. So you never go any further than that. You never go deeper in your heart. You never go broader in your view. You don't observe. And observing, one is in a constant state of perceptive learning. And it becomes very, very precious. I was speaking about responsibility on the next transmission and how when responsibility knocks on your door or says, enter, oh, yes, thank you. I get to really take a look at this, see where it's at, see my part in it, see the jewel in my part in it and where I'm at in it, and carry on. And what it does, it doesn't make you the greatest being in the universe. What it does is it brings you to yourself and understanding yourself very well. And when you understand yourself very well, then you understand others really well. You really do. So anyhow, let us move on, Sahara. I only have one more person who has their hand up, and then satsang will likely be over. That's Adhikari.
Thank you, Shantimai.
You're welcome. Padmani's sleeping. Hi, Padmani. Hello, Adi. How are you, Adi?
Very fine. Namaste, beloved Shantimai. Namaste. Thanks for that wonderful story. Oh, by the way, before that, I want to say I was finished when I met you. I love that, how you
me
said
too,
it.
Me too. When I met Maharaji, it was done. We only had to jump through several important hoops. And one was being able to change your mind and being observing rather than anything else. And
The one point that was so memorable for me when I met you in Satsang 24 years ago, and I saw that you would not let me hold on to any idea. I said, that's it. That's it. And I have goosebumps. You're still doing that. I'm loving the Wanpo intensive. Yeah. I always wanted to be in the Wanpo intensive with you, and I finally get a chance.
Yes.
Anyway, that first line is my line of every moment that I can remember.
We have to make a
intention to indulge in conceptual thought will put you in the
clutch of demons.
Yeah. So anyway,
not demons from the outside, demons, yeah. Self-created demons from the inside. It's really important.
So I wanted to share one of the thoughts I realized recently.
Wait a minute. Self-created demons, one's own creation of hardship from within how you think. All spirituality has to do with how you think. Make what makes way for your heart when you're observing. Mm-hmm. So then you can come from what we say is your heart. Your heart and mind are not two. Go ahead, please.
So the thought I observed that put me in the clutch of demons.
Which one was that, Adi?
It was expectation.
Yeah.
It was such a wonderful teaching when I looked at it. Oh, gosh, you got caught in expectation of someone. And I remembered what the next morning, I remember what Sahara said once. Expectation is resentment waiting to happen.
I don't think Sahara said that. I'm just kidding.
And I said, well, that is so... so true. So to expect anyone to be different iota from who they are or anything to be different. So that relates to the pundits and anybody, expecting anybody to be different. And another thing along these lines that I don't even know if I can say it without crying. I listen to your tapes as I'm driving in the car. And the first satsang I was with you in Teradasacha, Javanjali made a comment about when will we learn not to cast a shadow on anybody else's house. It touched you so deeply, it still touches me so deeply. When will we learn not to put an idea on anybody else?
Mm.
on how they should be. So I just wanted to share that. I just feel so blessed that you constantly invite me to watch my breath moment to moment, not to play with any ideas.
Adhikari, the angel of Baltimore, one of the most violent cities in the world.
Yeah.
I've attempted to get her to move out of there. She won't move. Swami Adi.
And it's very interesting to watch. It can be very subtle.
Adi, it is extreme subtlety. Extreme subtlety, which is so nice. It's such a skill, huh? So we talked about that, huh, Will, about the skill of spirituality, because it is. It's like sword fighting. It's like archery. It's like composing. It's like gardening. It's like anything that you can become extremely proficient at, and the more you do, the less you claim, and that's so nice. It's just, you just disappear. Oh no! Yes, you do. All that you thought you were, and then you get to see what everything and everyone and all of time and space truly is, and you can say not a word.
I love, I don't know if I'm saying this exactly right. I really miss the recording. That was the week that it didn't get recorded. But your statement to the fact spirituality is all about clearing away thoughts.
Yes.
It's obvious when you do, your love, emptiness. I mean, it's so obvious.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's right. And the important point about departing from opinion and thought and judgment and comparison and doubt and all of that. God, what a trash pit. To leave that all lay down, then you see what is the result here. And again, it becomes your repetition. Rather than your habits becoming your repetition, this becomes your habit. This becomes your repetition. Observing, 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 observing without a statement, without any anything whatsoever. And then really you see the medicine that people are asking for.
That just reminded me, you might smile at this. Everybody I see, I teach them the four-part breath. That's the most basic thing I have to offer.
What do you do with it? What do you do with those people?
Offer them how to do the four-part breath.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, so there's this one woman I'm working with, and she's called it, they have Instagram and everything. She calls it her Insta medicine.
I encourage everyone to sit for 15 minutes and breathe evenly through your nostrils and let every thought that you have go by. Breathe in a little deeper, inhale, hold, and exhale. Hold. And it takes you right to a very deep peace. Very deep peace. And this peace is, somebody told me recently that there was nothing in peace. Nothing. Huh? Well, you haven't quite touched peace yet. There's peace in peace. There's calm in peace. There's a language in peace. There is no anxiety in peace. There is no worry. there is
such joy.
Yeah, just being present where you are. Head's full of mush. Anyhow, thank you, Adi. Namaste. You. No more hands. That means satsang is complete. And what's that?
Bhavata.
Oh, Bhavata. Yes, Bhavata. There you are. A co-host and everything.
Namaste, Shanti Mai.
Namaste.
Fred is snoring, so you may hear that.
Oh, we love Freddie. I got a present for Freddie.
Oh, another one.
Well, this one he might be able to tear up.
Okay. Fair enough. Freddie's
a dog, by the way. Yeah. Oh, Freddie, he is so cute.
Okay. Shanti Mai, when you speak of transformation and not doing anything, it raised a memory for me. Last summer, we were with you in person for the full season. And when we left, normally I go back to my work life, my daily life, and watch the teachings unfold. But this time we traveled on. And I said to Cherie, the first satsang we listened to was in Bangkok. And I said, do you hear a difference in Shanti Mai's voice? Her voice is different. Something's changed. Something's different.
She's getting old.
She didn't hear it. And I was trying to describe to her, it's settled, or it's more peaceful, or it's something. There's something there, Cherie. There's something there. And so the next week we listened again and I heard it again. Cherie, her voice is different. And it turns out it was me.
Of course.
I was hearing you differently.
Of course. That's
and
right.
Something had settled in. And and I hear you differently. And the beauty of it was I didn't have to do anything except recognize the change in myself. And it was a profound experience that has allowed me now to hear you differently. And I know it is me and you mirroring me.
And yes, that's right. That's always the way it is, isn't it?
Absolutely.
And, yeah, it's how you listen. It's how you attend. It's how you remain receptive or not, or resistant. So you will definitely hear it, the voice. You will hear the teachings, so to speak. In the voice that you receive it in.
And it's the cup you speak of, the flowing in.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. When Tara said, didn't you ever think to go anywhere else, you know? I could not in my furthest, most wild moment could I even consider. There was no one else. There was no other mirror. And why would I go to another mirror when this one was so clear and the work was going on so well? And what he was showing me was so important and so simple. I couldn't move from that flawless mirror of his heart, which showed me literally the flawless mirror of every person's heart. It spread across existence, whether that person knew it or not, you know? And yeah, that receptivity, that Maharaji, that time, that blessing, that grace, it is in every day that I live. It is in every breath that I take. It's in every fiery statement that I might make or every soft and gentle touch. Everything. You know, I have something that goes on through the summer where I see people who are very capable, very able, very bright, very kind, who are completely resistant to making even a little bit of change in themselves. And I was saying, you know, this is so fascinating to me because I can't understand how people want to live in misery. And whenever you position yourself, you have to be in misery. And I just got an email the other day that said they were mad at me for raising my voice, and I can understand that. But what was it? What did he say? No, I don't remember. It'll come back. What was it? Where were we going with that? Because sometimes I go so far out, I can't find my way back.
Positioning.
What is it?
Positioning.
Yeah, positioning. Thank you. You with your status. And that was the scariest thing I ever heard. I said, I don't have any status whatsoever. So when we take position, I like to stay the way I am. I want to come see you, but I don't want anything to change, and I want to be guarded, and I want to be judgmental, and I don't want to change my sorrow or my suffering. Then I say, well, why do you come here? Status, position, judgment, resistance. The familiarity of, I'm not going to do anything to make a difference in my life. That's up to you. So you made a difference in your life. I see a lot of people making differences in their lives right now. This transformation story is potent. Just little things, just a little idea. And it's like, phwong. Wow, that was containing, wasn't it? That was sorrowful. That was suffering, wasn't it? So, yeah, I pray the best for everyone. I'm glad you could hear it in a different way. For you. No position, no status, no nonsense. This is nonsense. We are here to simply reveal to you what is within you. If you don't want to see that, that's okay. But I'm not, I'm tired of that. I'm tired of that. It's humbling, isn't it?
Absolutely.
And this humbling doesn't put you below anything. It just opens up the whole field, doesn't it? It doesn't put you above anything. You're not better or worse than anyone. This is so important. This transformation just opens your soul to what is, not what one thinks is. But this thinking is, it is what it is. It's got to change. Maybe it doesn't have to change. I'm not sure. I know what it has to do for me. I know what it has to do for people who will make that change. I don't know what it means for those who won't. I don't quite get it, but I don't have to get it. You know, I'm just... it's such a rich field. The simplicity of it is such a rich field. It's called love. Mm-hmm. It's called love. Well, I think we have to depart now. Is that okay for you? Did you want to say anything else? About you just keep satsang rolling. That's what you were doing.
Yeah. I'm grateful for the pointers, the guidance, the direction.
Yeah, it's called grace. Namaste. It's called grace. Hey, Padmani, you woke up. Okay, I think Premo is going to. Who is?
Lydia.
Oh, wait, Lydia. Let's get Lydia first. Mm-hmm. Can let's see, I need to put you on speaker there. Hello, Lydia.
Hi, Shanti Mai.
How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Very good. Thank you. Yeah. And putting my hand up was that you said that there was a lot of grace, you know, in the presence of your guru. And that's also, you know, what I notice, yeah, in your presence. And because I must, I'm not someone that, you know, is doing my practice every day. I don't have a strong practice, but what
wait a minute. Life is the practice.
Yeah.
Life is the dharma.
Yeah.
You have a meditation. It's really wonderful. If you don't, it's no excuse.
Yeah, and I know, life has given me ample opportunities to practice. But what I do remember, but I've told you one time, the grace, you know, your grace, I've kind of experienced a lot. After Peru, when I was with you in Peru, and it was the first time I was with you. And afterwards, not even one time worry came up in my mind again, you know, since 12 years. And I have no idea. I see that really as the grace, your grace, the grace of the guru, of I don't know how to call it, but it's just gone. And I'm not capable of worrying anymore.
I am so... so happy for you.
Yeah.
It's all we would ever want for anyone.
Yeah. 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 And it's amazing. But it's also with that, you know, kind of lots of pieces coming too, because.
Of course.
Yeah.
Because that space is now empty and free.
Yeah. Yeah.
And not occupied, and not affecting the organs, and affecting the bloodstream, affecting the heart rate, affecting the brain chemistry. No longer do you have to have that.
Yeah, I don't have to. Yeah,
it's like the sunshine comes in. I mean, of course, it's poetic, mm-hmm. but it's like you just drop the lead balloon. And your the opportunities for anything else.
Yeah. It's lots of energy for other things.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And that's the whole story right there.
Yeah.
And when, you know, I wanted to tell to Gabriella, and I think in a way I did. I rarely say I think I. Is that when she would worry, she gave us this great opportunity to speak about it, you know? This is the beauty of the transparency of people, is just to say, yes, you know, we all have had that experience, right? Is to, nowadays, rather than walk in the muck and the BS and the nonsense of worry, because basically because it doesn't do any good. If it did some good, I would say, go for it. But it doesn't do any good at all. It never heals the story. Bless the people. Use that space to send over whatever. You know, the communication clouds are very thin these days. And, you know, I would say, like, example for Gabriella, Max, you're going to be fine. It's going to work out. Everything, I'm sending the best energy over to you. And together, just through my intention and my love for you, it's going to work out perfectly. And leave it alone. Or it's going to work out as it does. And I'm here for you for whatever reason, for whatever you need. But I don't worry about you because I know that you're in the hands of the divine. Poetically speaking. So we can fill that space of worry with blessings for the people that we might worry about or those situations that we might worry about. Hey, I see the solution as occurring in spite of me. That's a good thing.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you, Shanti Mai.
Thank you for your work for the Sangha, too. Thank you.
It's an honor. It's just a small thing.
You're one of the unseen potencies for this Sangha to exist. And thank you. Namaste.
Love you.
Wake up, Premo.
She needs to be unmuted. She needs to be unmuted.
I'm sorry?
She's not unmuted yet. Someone needs to unmute her.
Now oh. I am. I am unmuted now. Yes.
Okay.
Shankara Karunakara Jagadishwara Parameshwara Shankara Karunakara Jagadishwara Parameshwara Shankara Karunakara Jagadishwara Parameshwara Jagadishwara Parameshwara.
Jagadishwara Parameshwara Shankara Karunakara Jagadishwara Parameshwara Jagadishwara Parameshwara Shankara Karunakara Jagadishwara Parameshwara Shankara Karunakara Jagadishwara Parameshwara Shankara Karunakara Jagadishwara Parameshwara Jagadishwara Parameshwara Shankara Karunakara 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 Jagadishwara Parameshwara Shankara Jagadishwara Parameshwara Shankara Karunakara Jagadishwara Parameshwara
Thank you, Primo. We always love to hear you. Mm. It's so nice to see all of you. I'm looking through the gallery. I love to see you. Oh, boy. It's so... Mm, so wonderful to see you. I'm on page 2 now. Yeah, Gilad's giving namaskar. Who's that? Nora Arjuna, did you get my email? Well, you can write back and say, I got your email. Thank you. and Chaitanya and Anna. And oh my God, I can't go through them all. I'm just so happy to see you all. Oh gosh.
Shanti Mai, would you like to take a moment and share about India this coming season?
We could. And maybe I also am saying, you know, we want to bury the time capsule. And it's time to do that soon. And we have very few entries, actually, very few. Now, if that's the way it's going to be, okay. I will fill the time capsule myself because there's many things that I think would be very interesting to discover in 100 years. So the time capsule, we would give it a couple more weeks for entries if you want to send anything. If you don't, fine, I'll work it out. India will be, our time in India will be from February 15th to March 15th. And then I may add 3 more days to go see Tripathiji because he asked me to come to his village. Maybe I would take people, maybe I would go alone. That's at this point unknown. We expect, Adhikari, we expect to see everyone there. Maybe our last time, may not be our last time. For certain, well, I don't know anything for certain, so I won't say. But those are the prospective dates. Those are the dates that are settled. We're not going to change them unless the world changes them, like it did through COVID or travel or whatever. But if the world will permit us, we'll be there from February 15th to March 15th. And we're going to have a mela. We're going to have such a mela. Mela means gathering, like the Kumbh Mela. And we're actually preparing for the Kumbh Mela in 2025, the Maha Kumbh Mela. So anybody who thinks they could weather something like that, and you would have to weather it. It's not easy, and it's absolutely marvelous. 14 million people gathering in one place for a spiritual experience. I do believe the last time there was 14 million at a time. That's a lot of people. So, and it's not easy to be there. But we're making plans to be there in a good way so that people have showers and places to sleep and places for personal hygiene. Mm-hmm. We'll have to rent a place, so I'm going to have to ask everybody to help. And so there it is. 2025, the Maha Kumbh Mela in Allahabad, now known as Prayagraj. And February 15th to March 15th this next year. Okay, namaste, everyone.
Namaste. Shanti Mai, I'd also like to share that if people are available to show up some days early and some days longer, to assist, go ahead and start contacting us at Star Media Info.
100%. We need a lot of workers. And Antisa says it takes almost a month to prepare. So, and it'll take a month to prepare, to pack away. So if anyone can be there, we really need help because we haven't been there for 4 years. And it'll be very intense preparation.
Yes, and people who want to start making reservations and such should start doing that now because we're not
now.
Sure.
Now, because Prem Baba just wrote to me yesterday and said, when are you going to be in India? If Prem Baba's coming to India, the rooms will be rented before you know it. So there you have it.
And I'm planning to be there at least a month early. Shanti Mai.
Yeah, you've got to be. And some weeks later too, Sahar.
There.
Surush. Everybody has, you know, all the and new people for sure, because it's going to be a big job. Oh, Madhu said she would come in. No, she's going to stay here, I think. I'll see you later. Namaste.
Hey, Shanti Mai, thank you so much for sharing this, everything with us.
Yeah, thank you too. Namaste.